We are recording, yes. Our topic for today is Lag BaOmer. And if you ask, what does that have to do with Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Medinat Yisrael? We will see there's a very, very clear connection. The problem with Lag BaOmer to start out with is that it's a very fuzzy day. We don't know too much about it. And as we're going to see, one of the reasons is because everything was censored out of the Gemara, anything that had to do with that time period. Let's see together source number two, the Gemara in Masechet Yevamot, Daf Samech Bet Amud Bet. Everybody knows that the whole idea of the Avelut, of not getting haircuts, not getting married during the Omer, it comes from here. It's mentioned just one place in the Gemara. Amru, 12,000 zugim talmidim hayu lo l'Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of students. Why doesn't it just say 24,000? Yeshiva students learn in Chevruta. And so he had 12,000 Chevrutot, migvat varanti pras, throughout Israel. V'chulan metu beperek echad, and all of them died during a short time period. Because they didn't honor each other. Tana, kulam metu mipesach v'aratzeret. When was that time period? It was between Pesach and Shavuot. Amar of Chama Baraba v'item Rabbi Chia Baravin, kulam metu mita ra'a. The students of Rabbi Akiva died a terrible death. Mayhi, asked the Gemara, what was that terrible death? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Nachman Askara. Askara literally means choking. It's usually explained that it was tuberculosis or some kind of plague that causes people to cough and to choke. But the question is, whoever heard, first of all, why does the Gemara have to go into details that they died a terrible death? And Bichlal, I'm sure all of you have asked yourself, what's the big deal about the students of Rabbi Akiva? There have been a lot of tragedies in Jewish history, and 24,000 students doesn't sound like such a big tragedy, especially in the if you compare it to the Holocaust. But question number three is, who ever heard of a plague that just attacks Yeshiva boys? Adraba, usually now during Corona, people are saying, you know, what are the who are the people who are most susceptible? Sorry?
Hannah's in the waiting room.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Ooh, Leia. How are you?
Hello.
Good to see
you. How are you doing?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Anyway, do you have the sheets for the source sheet that we sent out?
I don't. Does someone mind forwarding it to me, please?
Yael, could you forward it?
Yeah, I'll send it. But I think Hannah might also be in the waiting room still.
I admitted her.
Oh, sorry.
Here's Renee.
So I can't have my
Here's Chana.
Camera on.
I see Chana. Hi. Hello to everybody. We are, if you haven't taken out, please take out the sheet that I WhatsApped you. We're talking about Lag BaOmer. And we saw the Gemara in Yevamot, which talks about the students of Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 students who died. And we asked the question, who ever heard of a plague that just attacks healthy yeshiva boys? I started saying that during the coronavirus, everyone's worried about the elderly. They're worried about the young babies. They're worried about people with diabetes. But young, healthy men are not in a high rate of danger. And that's another question that we have to ask. And also, why was the Gemara so concerned with how did they die? They died a terrible death. Chevra, there's a famous Gemara in Masechet Makot that you'll probably know, but I'm going to give you a very, very big chidush that I'm sure you've never heard before. Let's look together in Source 6, the Gemara at the end of Masechet Makot, Daf Chav Dalid, which tells us, you all probably know the story, that Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Akiva, these four famous Tanaim, they were walking outside Yerushalayim. They came to Harat Sufim, where Hebrew University is. They saw Har HaBayit, and they ripped their clothing. They continued walking until they got to Har HaBayit, and they saw a fox running around on Har HaBayit. And all the rabbis started crying, and Rabbi Akiva started laughing. You all know the story? So the rabbis asked Rabbi Akiva, "Why are you laughing?" Rabbi Akiva said, "What do you mean? Why are you crying?" And the rabbi said, "What do you mean? The Kodesh HaKodashim, the holiest place in the world, that only one person, the Kohen Gadol, is allowed to enter, and even he only goes in one time a year, and now you got foxes running around in Har HaBayit? Of course we're going to cry, but why are you laughing?" Rabbi Akiva answers as follows. Let's take it from the Gemara, source number 6. 6 lines from the bottom. He says, "Lekach ani mitzachek." I am laughing for the same reason that you're crying, that there are foxes running around on Har HaBayit. Dichti, because the Navi Yeshayahu tells us, "Ve'aida li'edim ne'emanim," I will bring reliable witnesses, "et Uriah Kohen ve'et Zechariah ben Yevarchiyahu," two witnesses. Ask the Gemara, "V'chima inyan Uriah etzel Zechariah? Uriah b'migdash rishon v'Zechariah b'migdash sheni." You all know that when you have two witnesses at a wedding, both of them have to see the giving over of the ring at the same time, from the same angle. They have to be in the same place. If so, why does Yeshayahu call one Navi from the first Beit HaMikdash and a second Navi from the time of the second Beit HaMikdash? They're not in the same place. How could they testify together? Explains Rabbi Akiva, what does it mean that they testify together? "Ela tala hakatuv nevuato shel Zechariah b'nevuato shel Uriah." The Tanakh intertwines the prophecy of destruction with the prophecy of building, of Geula. "Be'oriah k'tiv," it says in Micha, "lachin biglalchem tzion sadeh techaresh," that because of you, because of your sins, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. That's the prophecy which we see taking place, right? The fox running around on Har HaBayit. On the other hand, "B'zechariah k'tiv od yeshvu zekenim uzkenot berchovot Yerushalayim," old men and old women will be sitting in the outskirts of Yerushalayim. All of you probably have been in the Rov Hayudi, in the Jewish quarter, where there's this big courtyard in the middle, and this pasuk is written on the courtyard. And you see old men reading newspapers, playing checkers, children running throughout the courtyard, fulfilling this nevuah of binyan, of geula. But Rabbi Akiva says, "Ad shelo nitkaima nevuato shel Uriah," until I saw the prophecy of destruction come true, "Hayiti mityare shelo titkayim nevuato shel Zechariah," I didn't know whether the prophecy of redemption, of geula, was going to come true. "But achshav shenitkaima nevuato shel Uriah," but now that I have seen the prophecy of Uriah fulfilled, that the destruction came true, "biyadua," now I know, what's he going to say? Anybody remember the end of the Gemara? Or you could answer from logic.
"Now I know that redemption's actually going to happen."
That's what I thought it says. And that's what everybody thinks it says. But you people have the source sheet inside, and you will see, and it says, he doesn't say that now I know that the nevuah of redemption will come true, but he says, "Biyadua shenevuato shel Zechariah mitkayemet." He doesn't say titkayem in the future. He says mitkayemet in the present. Why does Rabbi Akiva say the Geula is taking place in the present? And why is he smiling? Bilashon hazeh amrulo, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. The rabbi said, Rabbi Akiva, you have comforted us, you have comforted us. And the question is, how did Rabbi Akiva comfort them? And what is this idea of saying that the Geula is in the present? And again, what did he say? He said, now that I saw that the foxes are running in Har HaBayit and the Nevuah of destruction came true, now I know that the Nevuah of redemption is coming true. What does he mean? Chevra, one of the big riddles about Lag BaOmer was settled about 100 years ago when you've heard of the Geniza, the famous Geniza in Cairo, where they found a lot of old books in those old Beit Knesset in Egypt. And some of the books were 1,000 years old. And what happens with a book? Well, in Ashkenaz, when a book is torn, it's not usable, we bury it. But in Egypt, they had the custom of putting it in a room and just letting it stay in the room. And about 120 years ago, a guy by the name of Perkovich and also Solomon Schechter, and they started going through these old books in the Geniza. And one of the outstanding things that they found was an old version of the Igeret of Rav Shrira Gaon, which has a word, one word that we will see, that will change the whole picture of Lag BaOmer. What is Igeret Rav Shrira Gaon? I'll just give you a drop of background. Rav Shrira Gaon was a Gaon. He lived in the Gaonic period, lived about 1,100 years ago. And a student asked him if he could please make order, make sense of Jewish history, because the Gemara is not written chronologically. The Mishnah is not written chronologically. There is no Jewish history book. And that is why, to this day, the first real Jewish history book is this long letter answer of Rav Shrira Gaon. By the way, Rav Shrira Gaon is one of those names that, with an American accent, I feel embarrassed saying with Israelis, because there are too many rishas there. But Rav Shrira Gaon, he writes as follows. When he gets to Rabbi Akiva, look in source 7, and you will see the word that changes everything. Look at the second line. He's talking about Rabbi Akiva. Ve'amid Rabbi Akiva talmidim harbe. Rabbi Akiva had a lot of students. We know 24,000 students. Ve'have shamda ala talmidim shel Rabbi Akiva. There was a shmad, a pogrom, in which the students of Rabbi Akiva were murdered. Chevra, the students of Rabbi Akiva did not die of a plague. They did not die of tuberculosis. They were murdered. Why? What was going on at the time of the students of Rabbi Akiva? In the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. Exactly. And one of the problems is that just about all of the mentions of Bar Kokhba were censored out of rabbinic literature. We don't even know if it was censored by the Romans, or if it was censored because the Romans didn't want us talking about rebelling against them. Or it might even have been self-censorship, that we were scared of the Romans because they suffered so many casualties. What was the Bar Kokhba Rebellion? Bar Kokhba and Rabbi Akiva, as we will see, and Rabbi Akiva's Beit Midrash, about 50 years after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, they said, hey, if the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for 70 years, then 70 years is just around the corner. We have to start getting our act together to start rebuilding the third Beit HaMikdash, the third Commonwealth, by kicking the Romans out of the land of Israel. And they set up an underground, and they succeeded in having an independent Jewish state for about 5 years. We have, I'll show you soon, minted coins from the Bar Kokhba period that were minted during the kingdom of Bar Kokhba, 3 years to the Bar Koziba. That was his name. And Rabbi Akiva, it turns out, was one of the heads of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. And his 24,000 students, they were the Bar Kokhba rebellion. However, let's see the sources inside. Source number 8 is one of the few mentions of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. It's found in the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Ta'anit, Perek Dalet Alecha Hei. Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, we know, is one of the top students of Rabbi Akiva. Akiva Rabbi Hayad Doresh. Akiva, my Rebbe, he learned out from the Pasuk. There's a Pasuk in Parshat Balak, where Bilam is prophesizing about the future of the Jewish people. He talks about the Jewish Mashiach. And he says, Darach kochav mi Yaakov, a shooting star will shoot out of Yaakov. That shooting star is the leader, the Mashiach. Rabbi Akiva said, Darach koziba mi Yaakov. You know, it's interesting. Historians were debating for many, many generations. Was Bar Kokhba's real name Bar Koziba? And they nicknamed him Bar Kokhba because of this pasuk, because he's like a shooting star. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. Or is it the opposite, that his name was Bar Kokhba, and that he was nicknamed after the squelching of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, that he was given the nickname of Bar Koziba from the word kazav, disappointment. Now this question held until the Bar Kokhba caves were discovered. The archaeologist and his general in the Israeli army, Professor Yigael Yadin, found the caves where the Bar Kokhba rebels used to hide. And he found in their letters, one of the most famous letter, a short letter, where Bar Kokhba gives an order to all of the officers of his army. And he says, Chag HaSukkot is right around the corner. Make sure that all of the soldiers are provided with lulavim and etrogim. That's in order. Bifkuda, Shimon ben Koziba. We have his autograph. So his name was Ben Koziba, and his nickname was Bar Kokhba. Rabbi Akiva kad havichami Bar Koziba, haviyam ambar dinu malka meshicha. Rabbi Akiva said, this is the leader that we've been waiting for. This is going to be the Mashiach. Now, if Rabbi Akiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, follows Bar Kokhba, obviously his 24,000 students also followed Bar Kokhba. As we will see, the Bar Kokhba rebellion was totally made up of students of Rabbi Akiva. Amar li Rabbi Yochanan ben Torta, there was a Tana who disagreed, and he said, Akiva, Yalu asavim bil chayecha, v'adayin ben David lo yavo. He said, Bar Kokhba ain't the Mashiach. And you will have grass growing out of your jaws, in other words, you will be pushing up daisies, you will be buried a long time, and the Mashiach will have yet to come. Now, if you have a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta and Rabbi Akiva, by the way, does anybody remember Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta from another place in the Gemara? Does it sound familiar? Neither do I. Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta is not one of the great Tanaim. He's not in the league of Rabbi Akiva, or Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Meir, or any of the students of Rabbi Akiva. And in his generation, obviously, the students followed the greatest of the rabbis, and that was Rabbi Akiva. And that's what the Rambam writes in source number 9, where the Rambam talks about the Mashiach. By the way, it's interesting. I remember when I was teaching in different midrashot, around the year Tavshin Nun, 1990, where rumors started in Lubavitch that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, maybe he's the Mashiach. and students from all the Midrashot asked all the Rabbanim, what do you think? You think the Lubavitcher Rebbe could be the Mashiach? And I answered them that there's no way. Why? Because the Rambam says explicitly who the Mashiach or what type of person it's going to be. Let's see in source number 9. Hilchot Melachim Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Gimel. The Rambam says, "Va'al yale al da'atcha shemelech haMashiach tzarich la'asot otot u'moftim u'michadesh dvarim ba'olam." Don't make the mistake. It's a common mistake that people make and think that the Mashiach is going to do supernatural miracles and he's going to change nature. And by the way, if you would ask a Lubavitcher then in the 90s, why do you think the Rebbe is a Mashiach? They will say, what do you mean? He does all these miracles. The Rambam says, that's not a sign of Mashiach. O Michayim Meitim, don't expect the Mashiach to revive the dead. Uchiyotze bidvarim elu. Ena davar kach. That is not the Jewish Mashiach. How do we know? Sharei Rabbi Akiva chacham gadol michachmei mishnaya. Rabbi Akiva, he was the greatest rabbi of the Tanaim, the greatest yeshiva of Jewish history, 24,000 students. Rabbi Akiva is quoted left and right. All the Mishnayot and Toseftot and Sifra and Sifrei, the Gemara and Sanhedrin tells us they are all in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Vehu haya nose kelav shel ben kozi ba'amelech. Rabbi Akiva was the sidekick of Bar Kochva. He was the rabbinic figure leading the Bar Kochva rebellion. Vehu haya omer olav shu amelech ha-mashiach. Excuse me. And Rabbi Akiva, like we saw in the Talmud Yerushalmi, said that Bar Kochva is the Mashiach. V'dimahu v'chol chachmei doro, Rabbi Akiva, and all of the rabbis of his generation, all of the great rabbis, believed and followed Bar Kochva. Girls, who are the great rabbis of the generation of Rabbi Akiva? They are the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. They followed Rabbi Akiva, and like we saw in the Igeret of Shri Aragon, they were killed by the Romans when the Romans squashed the rebellion. By the way, getting back to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I told the students, how do I know that he's not the Mashiach? Simply because he never served in Tzahal. We see that the Mashiach is going to be a military leader. He's going to be a political leader. He's going to fight the battles of Israel and to kick the British out of, to kick them out of the land of Israel. And you should know that in the time of Bar Kochva, their hero was Yudah Maccabi and the Maccabees who succeeded in kicking the Greeks out of Israel. During the beginning of Zionism and the undergrounds, you all heard of the Haganah, the Etzel, the Irgun, the Stern Gang. Their dream, their hero was Bar Kochva. And now you understand, girls, why did Rabbi Akiva, when he saw the fox running around Har HaBayit, why was he laughing? And why did he speak in the present? He doesn't say in the future. He doesn't say, well, now that I saw the fox running around and we saw the prophecy of destruction come true, I now know that the prophecy of redemption will come true. Rabbi Akiva says, the prophecy of redemption is coming true, and we're going to bring it. And this is the source that the Rambam brings, that you're not supposed to wait passively in exile, just to wait and wait and wait for Mashiach. You're supposed to look for him. You're supposed to rebel. You're supposed to conquer the land of Israel and bring it back to Jewish hands. And I'll tell you something that I have to admit. I never realized that Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva was a Hesder yeshiva. I always had the picture of the Tanaim as old men with long white beards, and they learned Torah all day. And it turns out that they were not like the yeshiva boys in Lakewood or in Brooklyn or in Borough Park or in Bnei Brak. They are more similar to the Hesder boys in Har Etzion and Yeshivat HaKotel and Yeshivat Kerem Biavne, because they served in the army, fought the enemies of Israel together with their learning Torah. And now you understand why was the fall of Beitar so tragic, and why do we mourn the students of Rabbi Akiva? Right? Everybody says there were so many tragedies in Jewish history. Why davka these 24,000 students, we don't get haircuts and we don't get married? The answer is the Rambam in Source 10. The Rambam in Hilchot Taaniyot, Perekei Halacha Gimel, talks about five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. We all know the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. The second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. The Egel Cheta Egel Azaha Cheta Meraglim. V'nilkida ir gedola u'beitar shema. The city, the great city of Beitar, was conquered by the Romans. Girls, Beitar was the capital of Bar Kochva. Vayuba alafim urevavot miYisrael. There were tens of thousands of people in Beitar when it fell. Vayale melech gadol. They had a great king, Bar Kochva. V'dimu kol Yisrael u'gdolei hachachamim shu'a melech ha-mashiach. And all of Israel were with Bar Kochva. And all of the great chachamim were with Bar Kochva. Again, who are the great chachamim, gdolei hachachamim? That's Rabbi Akiva and his 24,000 students. V'nafal biyad goyim v'nehergu kulam. They were conquered by the Romans. Vaita, and they were all killed. Vaita tzara gdola kmo churban hamikdash. It was such a tragedy, just like the destruction of the Batei Mikdash. Girls, can you imagine if Chas v'Shalom, the state of Israel, should collapse, should be defeated like they wanted to do in the War of Independence and the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur? Can you imagine what that would do to the Jewish people? That would be an unbelievable tragedy. Do you know that during the Yom Kippur War, Moshe Dayan said that it looks like this is going to be Churban Bayit Shlishi? And not only that, I'll tell you a story that I heard personally from Rav Riskin. Rav Shlomo Riskin, who was the rabbi of the Lincoln Square Jewish, what was it called? Lincoln Square Center. Maybe the most successful shul, Orthodox shul, in all of North America. Has anybody ever been there? Huge, beautiful community in the middle of Manhattan. And they had not built the building yet. But they had gathered, I don't know, $5-6 million to build a new building. At the time, that was enough to build a building. And that was when the Yom Kippur War broke out. And on Motzei Yom Kippur, Rav Riskin called a meeting of the building committee, and he asked that they donate the $5-6 million that they had gathered instead of building a building to send it to Israel. Because the Yom Kippur War, Israel was caught by surprise, and the first 2-3 days of the war, there was a serious chance that Israel was going down. The Syrians conquered the Golan Heights in the north. The Egypt conquered half of Sinai in the south. And we were caught totally by surprise on Yom Kippur, where it's very difficult. There's no television. There's no radio to mobilize the troops. And the board agreed with Rav Riskin that, yes, it's more important to give the money to Israel than to build a new shul. But one of the members of the board, he was a businessman. He did his homework. And he said, Rabbi, with all due respect, obviously we all want to be with Israel when Israel's in danger, but do you know that the $6 million that we gathered is only enough to buy one tank? One tank is not going to make the difference in the Yom Kippur War. Tanks are very expensive. Weapons are very expensive. $6 million can build a building, and in the army, all it can do is buy one tank. And Rav Riskin answered them, do you know, after the Holocaust, most of the Jews in the world stopped going to shul. With the rise of the State of Israel, And with the victory in the Six-Day War, Baruch Hashem, a lot of Jews started coming back to Shul. But if Chas v'Shalom, the state of Israel, should fall, we won't need any shuls. Because even those who still come to Beit Knesset, they're going to stop. Where's God? Are we still the chosen people? And they gave the money to Israel. One tank, said Rav Riskin, one tank in the land of Israel is worth more than all of the Batei Knesset in Galut. Because the Batei Knesset in Galut, if there's no state of Israel, they're just going to go down. And now you understand, do you all understand why we mourn so much the students of Rabbi Akiva? Do you all see that? You all with me? Why do we mourn the students of Rabbi Akiva? Because it wasn't just diphtheria. It wasn't tuberculosis. It was a national calamity of the fall of the state of Israel, which they had succeeded in running for 5 years. Now, I'm going to show you some things that will blow your socks off. Shoshana, you with us? This will blow your socks off. Chevra? After we know what's going on historically during the time of Rabbi Akiva and his students, we can now piece together different things of innocent-sounding Gemaras, which, because they were so innocent, they bypassed the censor. For example, you all remember the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who spent 13 years in a cave teaching Torah to his son. Remember the story? Does anybody remember why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had to run to the cave? Yeah?
The Romans are trying to kill him.
Exactly. It says in Masechet Shabbat, on the story where it's talking, Staf Lamed Hey or Lamed Vav, it says the Romans were chasing Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Why were they chasing Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Because he spoke against the Romans. He was a student of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, throughout Ch'as, quotes his Rebbe as Rabbi Akiva. However, let's look together in Source 11. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet. Atu chakaku l'dmute de Rabbi Meir apitcha de Romi. The Romans chiseled the portrait of Rabbi Meir on the gates of Rome. Anybody want to take an educated guess why they wanted the picture, the portrait of Rabbi Meir on the entrance gate of every city in Rome? Yeah, Leah?
Is this like a wanted poster?
Exactly. Amri, they said, Kol dechazi lepartzufa hadin laiti. Whoever sees this face, bring it. Wanted, dead or alive, Rabbi Meir. Bring this face, with the body, without the body, we don't care. Why Rebbe Meir? Why was he wanted? Girls, anybody want to take an educated guess? Who was the Rebbe of Rebbe Meir? Rebbe Akiva, you got it. Okay, let us go on. Girls, the next point will blow your socks off. I have a picture here of a coin of the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. Coin collectors, they all know that the coins from the Bar Kokhba Rebellion are considered valuable. Did anybody make out the picture of the lulav? Do you see a lulav in the middle? And on the left and on the right is a hadas and an arava. Do you all see that? Now compare that with, this is a coin from the Maccabean dynasty. It's also a lulav, but it's surrounded by many, many hadasim and aravot. Do you all see that? Here there are many hadasim and aravot. On the Bar Kokhba coins, there's only one hadas and one arava. Okay? Why? Girls, let us look in Masechet Sukkah, source number 12. It's actually a Mishnah, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Bet. The Mishnah tells us, today, why do we have three hadasim and two aravot? That's the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael omer shlosha hadasim, ushtei aravot, lulav echad, vetrog echad. And that's the way we hold today, right? Rabbi Akiva Omer, jump down a line, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says, Keshem shelulav echad, etrog echad, kach hadas echad, ve'arava achat. You take one lulav, one etrog, one hadas, and one arava. Did you all catch why on the Bar Kochva coins is there only one hadas and one arava? Because they paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Because that was the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Akiva that did the Bar Kochva rebellion. Do you all see that? Isn't that cool? Chana, did you catch that? Did everybody catch it, or should I go over it again? Yael, you got it? Isn't that cool? Anyway, archaeology proves us, just like the Talmud Yerushalmi, just like the Rambam, the Bar Kochva rebellion was the students of Rabbi Akiva. Let's see another Gemara in Source 13. A Mishnah in Masechet Nigaim. Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalid. We don't have time to get into the background about the laws of Tzara'at, but what interests us is Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Shalti Rabban Gamliel, Vet Rabbi Yoshua, Holchin Legadvad, Betoches Gero Mahu. What is the law regarding this type of Tzara'at? And Rabbi Akiva asked these other Rabbanim while they were going to Gadvad. Gimel Dalid Vav Vav Dalid. The Tiferet Yisrael asks, who ever heard of a place called Gadvad? And number two, who cares? Since when does the Mishnah tell us where they were discussing this issue of halacha? But look in Source 14, the Tiferet Yisrael in his commentary says, Ve'igar sinan ligdud, it should not read ligadvad, but they were on their way to the gdud. Gdud is a battalion. They were on their way to their battalion. Nir eli dahainu be'olcham lemilchama b'milchemet ben koziba. They were going to fight in the Bar Kochva rebellion. Shaya b'imehem chamishim u'shtayim shana achar ha'churban. 52 years after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, they were preparing for the third Beit HaMikdash, for the third Commonwealth, and that's why they fought to kick the Romans out of Israel. Vaya Rabbi Akiva nosek kilav shel ben koziba hanal. What we saw in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Again, Rabbi Akiva was the head, one of the heads, the spiritual head of the Bar Kochva rebellion. By the way, getting back to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, what I told the girls during the 90s was that Lubavitcher Rebbe couldn't be the Mashiach because he didn't serve in the Israeli army. He also is not a political leader. Arik Sharon, you ever heard of Arik Sharon? Has more of a chance of being the Mashiach. The Lubavitcher Rebbe could be the Rabbi Akiva figure. Because Bar Kochva was not a Rosh Yeshiva. He was not a Gadol Ador. He was a military and political leader. Who was the most important Jew of his generation? Rabbi Akiva. So, it's not belittling the Lubavitcher Rebbe when I told the students that he doesn't have a chance to be the Mashiach. But he could have been maybe the Rebbe of the Mashiach, just like Rabbi Akiva was the Rebbe of the Bar Kochva Rebellion. Continues the Tiferet Yisrael. Who cares that Rabbi Akiva was on his way to his battalion when he was discussing the laws of Tzara'at? It comes to teach us a very important message. Even though they were in battle, they were on their way to war, they were in danger. What do the Tanaim do when they're on their way to war? They talk Torah. But in our generation, I think it's more a chidush that the Tanaim did not talk Torah. That everybody knows they talk Torah. What's the bigger chidush? That they went to serve in the army. They were the Bar Kochva rebellion. Okay? Girls, the next one is beautiful. There's a story that you all know in Masechet Brachot, in Source 15, Daf Samech Amud Bet, a very innocent story, and that's how it bypassed the Roman censorship. But I bet you never noticed that now you'll hear the story with adult ears, and you'll realize, knowing the historical background, what's going on. You know what? You'll know the story, we'll just do it quickly. Rabbi Akiva comes to a city, and he knocks on the doors, and he asks, can somebody host me? Nobody in the entire city is willing to host Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Gamzu letova. Right? There's the famous Gemara. Everything that God does is for the best. Even Corona. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? He slept out in the forest. He had with him a torch, a rooster, and a donkey. That night came a wind, blew out the torch. Came a lion and devoured the donkey. Came a cat and ate the rooster. Chad Gadya. And what did Rabbi Akiva say? Gamzu letova. That night, by coincidence, the Romans came to the story, to the city where Rabbi Akiva wanted to stay. They took the entire city prisoners, and Rabbi Akiva said, no, I said Gamzu letova. If they would have put me up in the city, the Romans would have caught me as a prisoner. If I would have had my donkey and rooster, the Romans would have heard me. If I would have had my torch, the Romans would have seen me. They would have taken me as prisoner. Gamzu letova. Everybody remembers the story? Chevra, let's ask adult questions. You're adults now. Since when does a Rosh Yeshiva of 24,000 students travel alone? But now that we know that Rabbi Akiva was wanted dead or alive as the head of the Bar Kochva rebellion, we now understand why he's traveling alone. I also thought of asking, who would not want to host Rabbi Akiva? If Rabbi Akiva would come to Chana Fisher, knock on your door and say, I need a place to stay. Could I spend a night at the Fisher residence? What would you say? Of course. Do you know that if Rav Kook would have once spent a night at my house, you all would have known about it already? Right? That would be the first thing that I would have told you. I would have taken a selfie with him. I would have told. Did I ever tell you when Rav Kook stayed at my house? Right? How is it possible that nobody wants to host Rabbi Akiva? What's the answer? If he's wanted dead or alive, and the Romans catch him in my house, I'm going to be arrested as an accomplice to the crime, as an accomplice to the rebellion. They're going to hang me too, so nobody wants to host Rabbi Akiva. Final question. Chevra, doesn't that sound too coincidental? That Davka on the night that Rabbi Akiva wanted to stay in that city, and nobody wanted to host him, Davka that night, the Romans came and they took the entire city prisoner. Can somebody figure that out? Doesn't that sound too coincidental? What do you think happened, apparently?
They've been following him.
Apparently, the Romans were following Rabbi Akiva. They had intelligence informations that the leader of the rebellion was in the city. They went into the city. Maybe they couldn't find him, but they didn't want to take chances. They took the entire city captive. Now, as far as the Gemara is concerned, the most important part of the story is Gamzu letova. But what we gain from the story, knowing the historic background, we now can make historic sense out of the story. Why is Rabbi Akiva traveling alone? Because he's underground, he's on the run. Why doesn't anybody want to host him? Why is that city taken captive? Do you all see? It all, Pashut, makes perfect sense. You all with me? Let's see another. You know what? Does anybody remember, maybe this one you know, anybody remember when Rabbi Akiva wanted to thank his wife for letting him go learn in yeshiva for 24 years? Anybody remember what did Rabbi Akiva buy his wife as a gift to show his gratitude?
A
He made a golden crown called Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. It was a crown in the shape of Yerushalayim made out of gold. Because when Rabbi Akiva wanted to show his wife, I really love you, I value you, he wanted to say, I love you, just like I love Yerushalayim, to which Rabbi Akiva dedicated his life. Everybody catch now, why did Rabbi Akiva, why did he laugh when everybody was crying? Why did he say in the present, just like the prophecy of destruction came true, we are going to make sure that the prophecy of Ge'ulah is coming true. And that is why they say, Akiva Nichamtanu, you have comforted us, we are going to get our act together, and we're going to set up a Jewish state. We see here very clearly from Rabbi Akiva and his students and the Rambam that the way of Chazal is not to wait passively for Mashiach, but it is to bring Mashiach. It is to set up an army. It is to set up a Jewish state. We'll see one last Gemara. Girls, Source 16. Rosh Hashanah Daf Kava Vamud Aleph. The Gemara says, "My mashma daha yuvla lishna didichro." It says that a yovel is a ram's horn, a male ram's horn. How do we know that? Ditanya, as it says, "Amar Rabbi Akiva kishalachti laAravia." When I was in Arabia, hayu korin lidichra yuvla. I heard them call a male ram a yuvla. When I was in Arabia. Now, once we're on the source of linguistics, Ve'amar Rabbi Akiva, kishalachti ligalia, when I was in Europe, in the city of Gaul, hayu korin lenida galmuda, I heard them call a nida a galmuda. And Amar Rabbi Akiva, kishalachti la'Africa, when I was in Africa, hayu korin lima'a kasita, they would call a coin, a ma'a, they would call it a kasita. Girls, it's a very innocent Gemara. Right? What's the historic question here? What is Rabbi Akiva doing in Africa, in Arabia, in Europe? There's no airplanes. There's no frequent flyers. Rabbi Akiva is a Rosh Yeshiva of the greatest yeshiva, is the greatest posek in the world. Why is he traveling around? Girls, Rabbi Akiva apparently went to all of the different Jewish communities in the exile to get the Jews to come on Aliyah. Rabbi Akiva was the first Shaliach Bnei Akiva. Do you ever think of that? He tried getting the Jews to make Aliyah. And by the way, if anybody was in Bnei Akiva, you now understand why it's called Bnei Akiva. Because religious Zionism is the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Akiva, which is the Tanaim. Again, this is the original Torah. Yehoshua ben Nun also was a religious Zionist. David HaMelech was a religious Zionist. Gidon, Yiftach, Shaul, all of Yehuda Maccabi, all of the great heroes were all religious Zionists who lived in the land of Israel. They spoke Ivrit. They served in the Jewish army. They participated in the state of Israel. This is the Torah that we teach in the Midrashah. This is more the original Torah than that which is taught in Lakewood or that which is taught in the Haredi community. This is the original Torah. If so, we're left with the question, two questions. Why does the Gemara say that Rabbi Akiva's students died because they did not give honor to each other? Chevra, all of you have learned that Jewish history is understood on two different levels. One is the physical level, but there is also the internal spiritual level. If you were to ask on a physical level, militarily, why did Rabbi Akiva and his students, why were they killed in the Bar Kokhba rebellion? The answer is simple, militarily. The Romans were the superpower. The Romans were the strongest army in the world, right? That's obvious. But Chazal are asking, what is the internal, spiritual reason why we did not win? Hare Yehuda Maccabi was also outnumbered by the Greeks. Why was he Zochet to win? Do you know that in the War of Independence, the same general, Yigael Yadin, he figured out that the Jews, the Israel in 1948 war, were outnumbered more than the Maccabees were in the Rabbim Biad Ma'atim. If that was Rabbim Biad Ma'atim, the War of Independence was that much more Rabbim Biad Ma'atim. So if God can give us a miracle and make the Jewish people victorious, Rabbim Biad Ma'atim, so why wasn't the Bar Kokhba Rebellion more successful than just 5 years? Yeah, they were successful, they won a lot of battles, but after 5 years it collapsed. The answer was, because we didn't deserve it. Because we didn't honor each other. Chevra, this is also logical. In the army, if you don't have people following orders, you're not going to win any wars. If every time you're given an order, you say, what are you telling me what to do? I think we should attack from the right. He says we should attack from the left. Jews like to argue. And by the way, that's one of the biggest miracles of the Israeli army, that Jews follow orders of other Jews. They don't say, who are you to tell me what to do? And the army of Bar Kokhba, the Rabbi Akiva, they did not have that. They did not honor each other. Final question. What does the Gemara say? By the way, now did you all catch? Is there a plague that just attacks young men, yeshiva boys? It doesn't attack women. Elderly did not die in the plague. Babies did not die in the plague. You understand why? Because there was no plague. It was the army. It was the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. But the final question is, so why does the Gemara say they died of choking? Chevra, has anybody here been in the Bar Kokhba caves? Bezrat Hashem, when you...
They died of suffocation.
Oh. What did the Romans do? The Bar Kokhba caves, by the way, you can crawl in them if you're not heavy. They're very, very thin, and they were dug that way so that the Romans, if they ever found the hiding place, they found the cave, the Romans would have to crawl in single file, and every time a Roman soldier came in, the rebels would chop his head off, and another would crawl in and they'd chop his head off. And they couldn't get the rebels out of the cave until they figured out the trick of building a big bonfire by the entrance of the cave. And then the rebels had to crawl out. Any rebel that succeeded in crawling out, the Romans chopped his head off. But when Yigael Yadin found the Bar Kokhba caves, it's not nice, not pleasant to say, but they found many, many skeletons of Jewish rebels who suffocated inside the caves because the Romans smoked them to death. And that is why the Gemara says they died a terrible death. What was the terrible death? They choked to death. Anybody ever hear that on Lag BaOmer there's a custom to go out with bows and arrows? Yeah, you've heard that? Now you
bonfires.
Right? Now you understand. Now, it's not the Roman bonfires. Rabbi Akiva, when he was traveling, when he was on the run from the Romans, he was traveling again with his torch, with his bonfire. What was the bow and arrows? That was like the M16. That was the rifle of the days of Rabbi Akiva. In other words, on Lag BaOmer, we remember and celebrate what apparently was Yom HaAtzma'ut for the Bar Kokhba state. And even though the students died and the Bar Kokhba rebellion finished after 5 years or 6 years, to this day, apparently that is what we really celebrate on Lag BaOmer. So we connected Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was also in the Bar Kokhba rebellion. We understand the coins, we understand all of these innocent-sounding gemarot, and we saw a great example of how understanding Jewish history helps you understand Chazal. And without understanding history, you don't understand what the Gemara is talking about. Any questions?